Radio. Good morning to everyone. I'm running a little slow here as I'm trying to figure out a computer, and that's not good for me. But today we have a special guest, as we have had several times on our, I think it's second Thursday of every month, Dr. Marilyn Coleman. Are you there, Dr. Coleman?
Yes, I am.
Hi. And you're kind of watered in today, I understand.
Yes, I have a driveway that's about a half a mile long, and I have a pond on one end and a gully on the other end, and the pond overflowed, and I don't know what is on the other end, but I'm on an island.
Well, if you need help, call. I'm sure we've got lots of listeners that can come out and bail you out somehow or other.
Well, the water will recede. It just takes time to get down the creeks and stuff.
Sure does. And by the way, we were talking off the air about you always send me an outline of what you're going to talk about, and I couldn't get it to pull up, but I figured out how to do it. I'm such a computer expert, I guess. So I have your outline sitting right in front of me now on my phone.
That is very good.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about lots of things today. You gave me 6 different head toppings, and the first one is weeding. What do we need to, you know, it's now the first early part of June. The weeds are really going crazy in my garden, but I use a lot of hay to keep the weeds down. Is that, are there plants that you shouldn't use that around?
Well, hay can be good, it can be bad, but one of the problems you run into with weather like we're having right now is that hay will get moldy, and it will damage the plants that you're trying to protect. It will keep the weeds out, but the plants will die because they have fungus on.
Oh, get the mold on. Oh, yeah, and I did notice some of that, so maybe I ought to pull it away from the plants.
One of the best things in a vegetable garden is newspaper, and you can use newspaper with like mulch like you get from the garden center, or you can use newspaper with grass clippings on it, but newspaper is the most important part.
Okay.
Because the newspaper will keep the weeds from growing up under the paper. If you want to have at least 3 or 4 folds of newspaper.
Okay.
And the only reason you have the mulch or the clippings on it is to keep the newspapers from blowing away, because newspapers will do their job without anything else, if you can keep them on there.
If you can keep it on, yeah. I found a place where I can buy a ground-up tree. dirt cheap. Now, would that be okay, or would there be little critters in that?
There's the biggest problem with getting the fresh sawdust is that there's certain trees, particularly black walnut, mm-hmm. that will kill the plants in your garden. They have chemicals in them so that they will keep out other trees and plants from growing so that they can get a good head start.
So it
can be good, it cannot be good.
Yeah, you got to know where they sawed down the tree if it's got.
Well, you need to know what the tree is made up of.
Yeah. Now, if I use just like cypress or something like that, would that be all right?
Cypress is fine because cypress isn't going to kill anything.
Okay.
Lowe's and Menards and Rural King all have mulch, and usually on Mondays they sell their broken bags of mulch for half price. So as long as you're not concerned about what color you have, you can get mulch for about $1.20 a bag.
I went over after you told us that. You told us that at during our last session last month. After you told me that, I went over to Rural King on Monday, and I said, do you have any bags that are broken open that I could buy? And the lady looked at me like I was an idiot. But she obviously was a very young person. I mean, she hadn't been there very long, so I didn't get any. But we'll try again.
Well, they always have it because they don't sell the broken bags for full price.
Right. Okay.
And, you know, there aren't a lot of people that are in the garden centers that are seasonal.
Yeah.
And they may not know it, but they usually put the broken bags on a separate pallet.
Okay.
And they're all on the pallet, and, you know, that's the way it works.
Okay. That's a really good thing to know because that saves you a lot of money. Yeah.
Well, it saves you a lot of money, and it's very good for your garden,
mm-hmm.
and you're not going to have anything in that that is going to kill your plant.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
So it's good to know.
Yeah.
So now, we were talking about weeding to start out with.
Now, you started with perennials. Now, what do we need to know about that?
Two major types of weeds. Perennials would be like dandelions
mm-hmm.
or Queen Anne's lace. Or burr, the big things that you get cockleburrs on your dog.
Mm-hmm.
Those are considered perennials. You also, the Queen Anne's lace, a lot of the perennials will have tap roots.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on how big they are, as far as how long they've been there, sometimes if you just dig around a little bit around the taproot, you can pull them out.
Yeah, if you get a good hold of the thick part of the taproot, quite often you can pull most of the taproot out, I think.
Yeah, especially right now when it's so wet.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have something like clover, or we call it bed straw,
mm-hmm.
or we call it creeping Charlie. It grows in your lawn.
Is it blue or purple?
It's kind of purple, bluish.
I have that
flower on it.
Yeah,
and it's very hard to get rid of, and you can pull things like for miles, and it's hard. You just don't know what you've got.
Well,
that one you can pull it. But one of the things that I would do if I were going to try to weed would be first of all use a rake to pull it to take out the stuff that's loose and. You'll often find that you got 20 or 30 feet of plant, but you've only got a couple of roots to pull up.
Good.
And that's pretty easy.
Yeah.
The other thing that you have to worry about is thistle. And almost anybody that feeds birds has thistle in their gardens because the birds drop the black thistle seeds and you've got a thistle plant.
And they sting when you grab them.
Well, you always use gloves to grab them.
Right.
But the problem is that if you don't kill them with Roundup first and you just try to pull them out, all you're going to do is to make lots more thistle, because every time it has a break in it, every time a little piece is there, it grows another thistle plant.
Oh, my. I've done it wrong all my life. Okay.
Well, it's just the way it is.
Yeah.
But if you do Roundup with it and wait until the plant has folded over on itself, it doesn't have to be completely dead, but if it's folded over on itself, then it's gotten down to the root, and then you can pull it out without propagating it.
Now, I've noticed that Roundup now has come out with applicators that have little caps on the top, so you don't apply Roundup to everything around it, which I thought was a great idea.
Yeah. Well, I usually use a piece of cardboard or poster board or something, or you can even use plastic bags that you get from the saw, and you can put that around the plant that you're wanting to kill, and even in the wind, you can kill that plant without getting it on anything else.
Yeah, because some of my thistles and some of my plants that I want to do away with are right next to my perennial garden, which I really don't want to hurt. So, yeah.
Well, you can use any kind of thing to protect the plant. The particular product you're talking about, it's a lot more expensive for that little knob that they have on the end.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you buy that, I believe it's already at the strength that you use. And I go through probably 5 gallons of concentrated Roundup a year.
Because
I've got a 100-acre farm.
Yeah, that's right.
But,
yeah.
You know, it can be very expensive if you're trying to get rid of stuff you're using ready-to-use product.
Well, my wife and I have decided that we're naturalists. We will let that purple stuff grow in our yard. We don't care. I just mow over it.
Creeping Charlie?
Yeah, I just mow over it.
Well, the Creeping Charlie...
it's pretty, actually.
Well, depends on how much of it you get.
Oh, okay.
I've planted sedum around the edge of my lawn so I don't have to put, to cut between my yard and my garden so that... And if you get the Creeping Charlie, it's one of the few things that will get around that sedum.
Hmm.
The sedum makes a helmet. The root makes a helmet so that it will exclude all of the grass and stuff from your yard.
Hmm.
And I use that instead of a edger stuff.
Sedum. Now, is that something you can buy, or is it?
Oh, yeah. You've got one of the most common sedums is called Autumn Joy.
Okay.
And you can buy a beautiful plant of Autumn Joy, and you can take it home and cut it into 40 or 50 little pieces and put it on the edge of, you dig a trench on the edge of your lawn,
mm-hmm.
and you fill that trench with nice compost, well-composted stuff, or
mm-hmm.
with potting soil, and you can put those little sticks. They only need about 2 or 3 inches long.
Huh.
You want to be able to pull off at least 2 leaf buds.
Okay.
And you stick it in that trench, and it will make a whole fence of sedum, and then you don't have to weed. You don't have to put in the plastic trim stuff, or you don't have to use one of those trimmers that are mechanical that cuts the lawn off at the edge of your flower bed.
Well, that's a great tip. I'm glad we talked to you this morning. I'm going to go out and take care of that.
Well, it's pretty easy, and the plants provide a lot of honey for the butterflies and the hummingbirds in the fall when there's very few plants that are actually blooming. And because it's a succulent, once it gets established, you don't have to worry about watering or anything. And then if you're lazy like me and you keep the plants, you don't cut off the plants at the end of the summer, that the seeds in the sedum will provide food for the birds in the wintertime.
Now, what was the name of that, the sedum variety that you talked about?
Well, Autumn Joy is the most common one.
Autumn Joy.
Like the,
I've got to write that.
Joy, autumn like the season, and joy like happy.
Mm-hmm. I gotta write that down.
That's the most common one.
Okay.
And if you buy a plant, you could probably buy a plant for about $5.
Mm-hmm.
But you take that plant home, and instead of digging a big hole for that big plant, you almost pluck it so that there's hardly anything left but the helmet.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, for, they're usually are at least 6 inches long with stems,
mm-hmm.
and you can make 3 plants out of those 6 inches.
Okay.
You want to take the flower off so that the plant doesn't have to worry about the flowering part.
Mm-hmm.
You want to have at least 2 leaf buds, and then you can either put it, if you want to see it before you put it out, you can put it in some water and wait until the root grows. But because we're going to be getting into the summer season fairly quickly, and we won't have all this nice rain, it's probably better just to go ahead and
put it in
your garden and make sure that at least once a week you put some water on it.
Now, you mentioned also under the perennials, multiple roots. Now, is that what you're talking about?
That would be like your Creeping Charlie,
yeah.
or
okay.
When you have, it's called bed weed. It has a little white bloom on it, and it's kind of sticky.
Hmm.
And it gets in the, it's very, you pull it out, and it seems like it goes for a long way, but that's apparently what the settlers used when they tried to make a mattress. They would fill that mattress full with this bed weed, and it would be like cushioning so that they would have a mattress.
Well, that's interesting. Huh.
It's also the type of weed that clover is, because if you try to pull clover up, you can pull it, but then eventually it'll have a deep root, but there'll be like extensions of the plant all along so it can kind of grow around. You can think of multiple roots like maybe ground cover is more common
mm-hmm.
than anything for multiple roots.
Okay. Now, I don't pull my clover because it's green. It matches my lawn perfectly. I just mow it. And
well,
I have a lot of clover in my backyard.
Well, clover is very good for butterflies and hummingbirds.
Good.
And it's almost evergreen, you know. It's
mm-hmm.
It's one of the few things that it's there, but, you know, I have a lot of clover. I have a lot of all the stuff I'm talking about, but I've also got 12 acres of yard to mow, so
sure.
I've got plenty of it.
And
wherever.
You got your hands full. Okay, you also talk about the annual that you need to weed. What are the annuals?
The annuals are a much easier proposition. I told you last month about getting some crabgrass preventer.
Yeah.
And the fertilizer. It's too late in the season to use a crabgrass preventer in your lawn, but if you have weeded your flower beds or your vegetable garden, you could use the crabgrass preventer fertilizer in it and would keep your annual weeds, which are like wallflowers or morning glories or things like that.
And that doesn't hurt the
vegetables. Some seed every year.
That doesn't hurt the vegetables?
No, it's not going to hurt your vegetables.
Really?
The only thing, it has a fertilizer in it, and it has a agent which will keep seeds from germinating. So if you have your garden planted to all plants,
mm-hmm.
then you can use that in your garden, and it will keep the annual weeds from coming up.
Ooh, I like that.
You can also buy a product which is a little bit more expensive, but it's more selective. It's called Preen, P-R-E-E-N.
Yep, I've seen it. Mm-hmm.
And you can sprinkle that in your garden, but like I said, I like to save money. I have big gardens, so for me, using the crabgrass preventer is a lot cheaper.
Now,
I think the Preen is like $15 for a big box of it, and the crabgrass preventer is like maybe $8 for 35 pounds.
Now, would weed and feed be a crabgrass preventer? Can you use that?
No, because weed and feed is going to kill your weeds that are already present.
Okay.
And one of the problems that you have to worry about with weed and feed is if you're doing it in your vegetable garden, that the weed part, as far as that weed and feed thinks, that weed is also your tomatoes or your peppers.
Yeah, let's not do that.
So you don't really want to put that in your garden.
Well, while we're talking about tomatoes, I got it. This is completely off the line of talk, but 3 days ago, I walked out, and in my tomatoes were nestled four tiny baby bunnies. And they were right between my tomatoes and my kale, and they were tucked under the kale leaf, so nobody could see them except for when you walked right up there. Well,
they'll just eat all your kale.
Well, that was okay, because I'm not a big kale fan, but I didn't know.
But probably the reason you have them is that you've got that hay or straw in there, and it's a way for them to hide.
Yeah, and they loved hiding. Well, I thought, oh my goodness, we have three neighborhood cats, and I was afraid they were going to get caught. And so my wife said, what are we going to do? I said, well, we're going to let nature take its course. And fortunately, apparently Mom Bunny came and got three of the four and took them to her house because there were no fur things, you know, like if a cat had gotten one. But there was still one baby there. And for an extra day, that baby stayed there. But I went out this morning, and that baby has been taken away by his mama. So that's cool.
Nature's really good. Mother Nature is a good thing.
Yeah, and mothers are a good thing.
Oh, yes, they are.
All right.
But we were talking about weed be gone, and if you had weeds in your lawn that you wanted to get rid of, weed be gone is a very good thing to use in your lawn because it would get rid of some of that creeping Charlie and the clover and stuff like that if you wanted to use it in your yard.
Is it safe if you have pets?
It's fairly safe. It doesn't have a long half-life.
Uh-huh.
So Roundup or weed be gone are going to do whatever it's going to do within 4 to 6 hours. So as long as you don't have the animal out for 4 to 6 hours, then you're pretty good.
So all these signs that are in our neighborhood that says all these yards have been, they put stuff on it. After they've been out for a day or two, we should be okay by having our dog walk by those signs.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I just don't know what chemicals they're using, but the ones that we can buy at the Lawn and Garden Center are very short acting. That's why the next term is long term versus seasonal. You have a long term, especially Roundup, and people use it in their driveways so that the grass that grows between the tire ruts is not going to take over.
Yeah.
So that particular type of Roundup would not be, it would last a lot more than the 6 hours.
Yeah, okay.
So it is, you do have to worry about it. And the next topic we were going to talk about is pruning. And I know that most people have pruned their fruit trees by now.
Yeah.
But if you have very well-nourished fruit trees, you may want to go through and take off some apples or some peaches so that the fruit that's left will be a lot bigger.
Oh, interesting.
I have a peach tree that I could probably get 20 bushels of peaches off of it, but if I don't go out and pull the small peaches off, I will have just a lot of very small peaches, and it's just mostly pits. So
I would imagine the ones that you pluck off, the little ones that you pluck off to do that, you could probably eat those anyway, couldn't you?
No, you want to do it before
before
the tree has fed it. You want to do it while it looks more like an almond than a peach.
Oh, okay. All right.
So this time of year is when you'd want to go through, and you can determine if you don't have a need for very large apples or very large peaches, then you can keep them there. But the more you have on there, the harder it will be for the tree to feed each one.
Sure.
Appropriately.
Sure. It's logical.
So you do also need, we talked a little bit about pruning for disease control.
Mm-hmm.
If you, once the trees leaf out and you didn't cut enough off in the spring before the sap came, then you can go through and you can cut some limbs out. So most of the time you want to be able to, particularly with your things like peaches,
yeah,
and apples and pears and stuff like that, you want to be able to throw a basketball between the limbs of the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two reasons for that. One is that fruit grows on horizontal limbs, not on vertical limbs.
Oh.
So if you take out the horizontal limbs, it will have more air through the tree, so you're not going to have moldy fruit or get blight or something, a fungus on the tree itself. And the other thing is that you're going to have a better sized fruit.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to stress the tree.
Now, I have, and this is not fruit, but I have a burning bush. And
yeah.
I neglected to trim it early, and I think you're supposed to trim them early. But
well,
can I go
as
ahead?
As far as burning bush goes,
yeah,
you trim it whenever you have your shears in your hand.
Okay, good. That's such a good thing to hear, because I'm going to start hacking at it, because it's growing bigger than the house, and you can't get out my front door because it's that big.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, what you want to do, instead of trying to pick off ends of the tree, you want to, of the bush, you want to go down to the main stem,
mm-hmm,
and you want to take out big, big limbs of
that,
it, and it'll grow back. And
that's
once you
exactly
take out
what
the
I was
big
do
limbs, so that you have air through the tree,
yeah,
air through the bush, then you can use your, you know, you make it look as pretty as you can.
But yeah,
it may look, may not look very happy this year, but it will also, it'll be very happy next year.
It'll love us next year. All right, very
yeah
good. So, go ahead. You were talking about also late season pruning for like
yes, well,
hydrangea.
You've got, yeah, you've got hydrangeas, spirea, sedum. They
mm-hmm
all grow. They all flower late.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, my oak leaf hydrangea has started to flower, and my Annabelle hydrangeas have started to flower. And you want, as soon as the flowers go away, you want to really hack it up and make it look like what the shape you want it to be, so that it's not feeding that flower to try to make seeds.
Mm-hmm.
It'll make the plant stronger, and it'll do a better job of flowering next year. If you tried to prune it in the early part of the season, the new growth is what the flowers grow on, so you'd be cutting all your flowers off. That's why you wait until after it's flowered.
Hmm. Now, I have a very large bush that produces a white flower, and I used to know the name of it, but it and it's growing fine, but its neighbor next to it, which I believe is the same bush, apparently we thought had died because our next door neighbor has a lawn organization that sprays along the bush line, or along the fence line, and we thought maybe it had died from that. And then, I mean, it was, everything was dead on it, and all of a sudden it starts sprouting up leaves all over the place. What happened there?
Yeah. Well, it's probably one of the late bloomers, and you have to cut it back.
Okay.
And when you cut it back, the nutrients in the roots will shoot out the new leaves.
Okay. Well, now I'm guessing
you're not doing any favors to your plants if you make them so that you have to reach up to prune them, because you should be looking at trying to keep your plants about waist high.
Okay. I've got a lot of pruning to do then.
Well, You know, you can prune it, and you can prune it all in 1 year and have it look crappy, or you can do a little bit each year and have 5 years worth of crappy.
There you go. I'm going to go out and hack away. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
All right. What else do we need to know about pruning?
Well, I think we've covered it. One of the things that you want to always make sure you have the correct tool when you're pruning. You've got pruning, you've got little tiny clippers that are handheld, and they're only about probably 6 or 8 inches long.
Yes.
You want to make sure that the blades are sharp. You can sharpen them with whetstone, or you can take them to somebody to sharpen. And then when you get through with them, you want to make sure you oil them so that they stay nice and sharp.
Sure. Yep.
And then you've got a little bit longer pruner that has the same kind of shape, but it would be like 18 to 24 inches long.
Okay.
And it would be used for your larger, like we were talking about your burning bush. That's probably what you want to use on your burning bush. You would be able to cut something up to about an inch to an inch and a half in diameter with that.
Okay.
And you would cut closer to the trunk of the whatever you're cutting.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have they look more like scissors, but they're longer. They're probably total about 18 inches long, but the blade part of it is half of it, whereas the other one I was telling you about, the blade is on the end of it, not the length of the piece of equipment. But the other one is you would use if you have something like boxwoods, or once you get your firebrush tamed down, you could use that to shape it.
Okay.
But it's not used really. You call it pruning, but you're shaping the plant more than pruning limbs or that type of thing.
Now, is it okay to use like these electric or even gas powered hedge trimmers on things like that?
Well, the hedge trimmers are like what I was telling you about, the hand trimmer.
Okay.
That's used for shaping something. It's not used. You don't use that if you're trying to make it have more air through it, or if it's gotten out of hand and you want to get it down to a more manageable height.
Okay, gotcha.
You would not use that because you'd end up breaking your equipment.
Okay.
Even if it's electric.
Yeah.
Or you'd end up maybe breaking your arm because it caught on it and flipped it.
Yes, let's not do that. Hand. I'm too old to break my arm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now,
but one of the things that I like about Ohio is that, you know, we can be in the middle of winter and we have the bulbs blooming and all of a sudden you've got all these beautiful annuals.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like an immediate thing where I grew up in the South and we have stuff blooming all the time. Even in the middle of winter, we have camellias blooming and then you have azaleas and you have wisteria and magnolia. So you have something blooming all year, but we in the South, we didn't think about buying annuals, you know, flat annuals and putting it in your yard because you've got something that's blooming all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But in Ohio, we've got, you know, you go from the start days of winter to spring, and you have this beautiful bloom of petunias and marigolds and begonias, and all this stuff is kind of instantaneous.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that I have seen lately is a lot of different ways to make, if you, particularly not at my farm because I get too much stuff to do, but in the city where you've got fences and stuff, you can get pallets, and most of the time if the pallets are broken, which you want them broken anyway, they're free.
Yeah.
And you could cut some of the slats off the pallets, and you can hang those pallets on your fence or put the pallets on some metal stakes, and that could be your garden. And that way, if you're old like me, you don't have to bend over to weed it.
Love it.
And you can put these beautiful, annual plants in that. It would not be good for perennials because it's it would be too cold in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
But those are really pretty. And then they have something, I call it something like a shoe holder. You've seen these plastic bags that,
yes.
have,
mm-hmm.
that you hold over the door. Well,
yeah, you put them in your closet. Yeah.
You have things like that, which you can put flowers in and or strawberries.
Yeah.
And they'll hang over the edge of it. So by the middle of the summer, it looks like you've got one big plant that's just there.
Hmm.
So, you know, you have to look at this part of the plant selection was talking about, you know, what other ways we have other than just planting plants in the ground.
Right.
But you could have hanging baskets, you could have, I would call them hanging shoe holders or something like mm-hmm. that. You can buy them now, I believe, at the garden centers, and it's a green plastic, and it looks to me like it's a plastic bag that they've cut, and it's just got enough room for a plant with maybe two handfuls of dirt in them, and it's like pockets on it, and you know, it's the same kind of thing. But you could have that with begonias or petunias or all kinds of things. It depends on whether you want it to be flowing, like over the side, or whether you want it to be, you know, uniform. And I think that the pallet things, if you're in the city and you've got fences, or if you've got just between the gardens, you want to put in something that would be pretty. I think those are neat.
I've seen that on TV. I watch, I can't remember the name of the show, but anyway, they use that pallet thing to decorate the side of a building that was kind of ugly looking.
It's got a lot of, and the thing I like about it is that you don't have to bend over to pull out the weeds.
Yeah.
That sounds
well, so maybe good. The bottom ones you do have to bend a little, but the top ones are waist high or chest high.
We're hanging about, so the top of the fence, which was usually about a 4 or 6 foot fence, the pallet would be on the level of the top of the fence. So you don't have to bend over very far, because most pallets are only about 24 to 30 inches wide, or, you know, they're kind of square.
Yeah.
But you do have to think about whether this garden that you're going to have is going to be in the shade or going to be in the sun, because the plants that you select for that would be very different.
Yeah.
Petunias and marigolds and those kinds of plants do wonderful in the sun, but impatiens and begonias, they need a little bit of shade.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have the things we were talking about, the pallet things and this shoe hanger thing, or whatever you want to call it, those you would have to water on a frequent basis. Even your hanging baskets, you have to water. But you do have some things like, there's a lot of succulents now that you can buy, and they don't take very much water.
I've seen a lot of succulents lately,
One of the things, if you have, I have a friend and she must have 20 hanging baskets in her yard. They're very pretty, but to me it would be a lot of trouble.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of watering.
That's a lot of water, but you can buy these, they're called cocoa mats.
Yeah.
And they're out of a coconut thing, and you only need to water it maybe once or twice a month, whereas you'd have to water one without that once or twice a week.
I just saw preformed little round cocoa thing baskets. I just saw them at a dollar store for a buck and a quarter. I'm going to get some of those.
You can put those in a regular basket.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to be very strong if you try to put very much in them.
Right.
But you can put in a regular plastic hanging basket.
Yeah.
And you can do a lot of things with it. And as long as you take it out at the end of the season and dry it out so that it won't get moldy or get vermin in it in the middle of winter. You can use it for a long time.
I didn't know you could use those again. I thought they were a throwaway thing. Okay. Well, we're down to our last...
throw them away.
Yeah. We're down to our last 2 minutes, and so we're going to... we pretty much covered the plant selection area. Wet and dry, did we talk about the... Yeah.
Well, that was what we were talking about for the... If you wanted not to have to water it, you could use a succulent in those baskets, or if you didn't mind watering it, or you could use those cocoa mats to supplement where you are.
Well, I'm
going to also have wet and cold, you wet and dry in your gardens that you have to
pick
well. I know you have to have a break. So
yeah, we got to have a break.
You have a break.
And I'm gonna put you on hold on my board so nobody can hear if you cough or anything or talk to somebody.
Okay.
And then if you'll just hang in there, we'll come back in about 15 minutes and we can listen to your dog. But we will break away here for about 15 minutes and come back about talking about fertilizer, I guess. Is that all right? All right. Talk to you later. All right. Let me see if I have to pull the right pot down. There goes Dr. Coleman. She'll be back in about 15 minutes, and we'll talk about fertilizer, all right? And right now you're listening to WWGH 107.1 here on your dial. And I'm Glenn Coble, and this is On the Air, the show you're listening to. And we'll be back talking about fertilizer, all sorts of questions about high nitrogen, magnesium, phosphorus, what you need. All right, come on back.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For people like the first female Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright.
If Donald Trump does get in, what kind of damage could he do? He's got to deal with Congress, the Senate, the Supreme Court. From somebody who's been there and dealing with foreign countries, if he's in there, what could there be a bad future?
I'm concerned about that. I have said that if he gets elected, it is a danger to the United States. The truth is, in many ways, just the kinds of things that he's saying during the campaign is a danger to the United States. The United States, for our national interest and the safety of our citizens, does have to be involved with other countries, needs to be respected by other countries, needs to respect other countries, and Donald Trump does not have the right temperament, the knowledge, or the capability of being President of the United States. I think I'm just stunned, frankly, that it has gotten this far.
To WCMH Channel 4 anchor Colleen Marshall.
That being said, you've covered many a presidential race in your career. Why do you think he walked away even before the question was finished?
You know, I can't explain that. And, I've actually been thinking about it because other people are asking questions and talking about it. And, of course, Trump supporters are very angry that I even brought up the racism question. But, you know, I didn't get to finish. Again, it was I really wanted to give him the opportunity to address all critics. But I think I'm surprised that his people haven't prepared him more for questions like that when these issues are at the forefront of the election.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Check us out on any mobile device by downloading the free TuneIn app and searching WWGH. Most show archives are available on the net. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com.
Hey, hello everyone. This is Pastor Steve Whitaker from Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. You can listen to our show, The Pastor Spot, every week at 9:15 in the morning on Fridays. And you can call in if you have any questions. Maybe you need something we need to pray about. But every week we have a great discussion, and we look at the world through a biblical perspective. And we look forward to you listening to the show.
The Marion Towers Apartments are a supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Address, 400 Delaware Avenue. Phone number, 740-387-9050.
OhioNotary.us is a proud supporter of WWGH Radio. Telephone number 740-531-2326. Website OhioNotary.us, providing notarization services of any document anywhere in Mid and Central Ohio at homes and businesses. OhioNotary.us, a proud supporter of WWGH Radio.
We here at WWGH Radio 107.1 FM are proud to present Magnificent Marion Moments. One of Marion's most famous residents was Warren G. Harding, the 29th President of the United States of America and a former United States Senator from Ohio. Harding won election as president in 1920.
This is Seth Sullinger, and you are listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Find us on Facebook by searching WWGH Marion, Ohio 107.1 FM, and click live for exclusive content.
This is Scott Spears looking down on the beautiful city of Marion from the WWGH News Chopper. If you would like to ever submit a news tip or an event to the WWGH News Department, email Scott at WWGH1071.com. And watch out for the chopper. And now a few words from Scott Spears, Charlie Evers, and the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams.
Hey, Scott, I bet you could not guess what my favorite type of animal is.
Cats?
No, dogs. Now can you guess what my favorite type of dog is?
Black Lab.
No, Golden Retriever. Was there any doubt?
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
This is Scott Spears inviting you to join me right here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM for Now with Scott Spears. Some of the best celebrity guests and local topics you'll find in Marion. Recent guests include Charlotte Ray.
I'll tell you, people who grew up with Facts of Life, the girls and Mrs. Garrett, I mean, they have a real affinity. It's a special relationship. It really is.
Famous Wally Amos.
I just developed such a